This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump's new tone regarding Syria. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, April 6th. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
After a chemical attack in Syria that's been widely blamed on the government, the Trump administration is signaling a new thinking toward the Assad regime.
The Republican-controlled Senate today could clear the path for Judge Neil Gorsuch to join the Supreme Court.
Pepsi has yanked a commercial featuring Kendall Jenner after backlash on social media. The company says it was just trying to promote peace and love.
And employers adding generous perks like a maternity concierge.
They will plan your kid's first birthday party, gender reveal parties when the parents find out the sex of their unborn child and want to announce it to those around them.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig on employers planning baby showers and offering other services to retain female employees. She's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump said a suspected chemical attack by government forces in Syria that killed at least 85 people has changed his mind about President Bashar al-Assad. Mr. Trump has not specified how his administration would respond. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, said at an emergency meeting yesterday that if the U.N. fails to respond, the U.S. would be, quote, compelled to take our own actions.
Assad has no incentive to stop using chemical weapons as long as Russia continues to protect his regime from consequences.
A military response would be complicated given the different groups fighting in Syria and the involvement of both the Russian and Turkish militaries.
How many more children have to die before Russia cares?
Russia is providing Mr. Assad with a sophisticated air defense system and Russian jets that would make it difficult for American pilots to enter Syrian airspace to strike the regime, but the U.S. could fire cruise missiles from outside Syria that would eliminate the immediate risk to American pilots. Steve Bannon, chief strategist for President Trump, has been removed from the National Security Council's Principles Committee, and top U.S. intelligence officials have been restored as permanent members. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The decision was made by the new National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster. A memo reviewed by the Wall Street Journal makes the director of the CIA a permanent member of the Principals Committee and restores the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the director of National Intelligence as permanent members after they were initially downgraded. Although Mr. Bannon and White House officials explained the move as a natural evolution of the council under General McMaster, others within the West Wing said it reflects the shifting power dynamics still coursing through the White House. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Bannon, by the way, has encouraged the president to criticize the mainstream media and is responsible for the White House strategy of trying to overwhelm opponents, Democrat or Republican, with a constant stream of tweets and other attacks to throw them off balance. The fights over health care and a new Supreme Court justice suggest the divides on Capitol Hill aren't simply between Republicans and Democrats. Instead, there are schisms within the parties, and in some cases, schisms within the schisms. So says Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Jerry, what's the scene now?
Well, the scene is a place where I think a lot of the traditional alignments are breaking down, and you no longer have just a clear partisan breakdown, which, you know, frankly, has been pretty unproductive over the last few years anyway. But it's now, we're in a situation where it's not just Democrats versus Republicans. It's Republicans splintering and, you know, schisms developing within the Republican Party and now within the Democratic Party as well. And a President Trump and an administration that's really kind of singular. It's not really traditional Republican. It's certainly not Democrat. And so you have what I defer to in the piece as tribes and a kind of tribalism in Washington, not just your simple Republican, Democratic partisan paralysis. It's now even more complicated than that.
Why are these traditional alliances breaking down, as you say?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One is a certain amount of this is kind of the polarizing effect, but also the strangely independent nature of the Trump presidency. It's not really he's not really a conservative. He's certainly not a liberal. He's not a traditional Republican. He's kind of by himself, and people aren't sure whether they line up or not behind him. The conservative Republicans don't think they have to or should. Democrats who might want to are kind of afraid to do so because he's so despised at the Democratic base. And so there's a Trump factor to all of this. I think there's also a kind of a realignment underway, and I think the election either showed this is happening or made it happen faster. But, you know, you have Republicans who are deciding whether they're a populist party or a conservative party, and Democrats deciding whether they should move hard to the left or try to stay in the center or figure out a way to reclaim some of their mojo with working class, traditionally Democratic voters that Trump stole from them. So you have a Trump factor and also kind of an identity crisis within each party right now.
All right. So do you get the sense that some sort of new party could emerge on either side or both sides?
You know, it could. I think more likely the two parties kind of morph into something different from what we've been used to for the last 20 years. And, Donald Trump said, when he spoke to a conservative group in Washington a month or so ago, that the Republican Party is now going to be the Workers' Party, kind of suggesting a populist approach, although, that's not entirely borne out by the way they handle health care. We'll see when they come up with the next big plan, which is going to be for tax reform. But anyway, there's a kind of a question that both the traditional business constituency in the Republican Party has, and as the traditional conservative backbone of the Republican Party has, about whether this is still the place for them. And on the Democratic side, a lot of the energy is from Bernie Sanders, who's not really a Democrat and who's more of a socialist. And the Democrats have to ask, is that the direction we're headed? Or, do we find some moderate ground and figure out our own way to be a populist, not a liberal party, and win back some of that center of America? So, there are different strains and there are different arguments for which direction the parties go. And, the Trump presidency doesn't provide clear leadership to any of these groups because it's kind of a mix and match kind of an approach.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. His piece is called "The New Tribalism Spreads in Donald Trump's Washington." All right, so you even kind of identified some of these tribes. Give us a kind of a thumbnail on each one.
Well, I think there is the Trump tribe, as I mentioned at the outset, that the president and his administration is not traditionally Republican, not traditionally conservative, and it's got kind of a mixture, and it's not really connected to the Washington establishment in much of any way. They're what I call governing Republicans who think the key is now that they're in control of both branches of government, they need to show that they're going to get something done, even if that means compromising to get it done. There are Freedom Caucus Republicans, who were the people, the most conservative Republicans, who blocked the health care plan that was being discussed a week to 10 days ago because it didn't meet their conservative litmus tests. They're what I refer to as the Never Trump Democrats. I think an increasing number of Democrats under pressure from their grassroots look as if they're not really going to want to compromise or work with President Trump on anything. And then there's the maybe we will work with Trump Democrats, mostly the moderate conservative Democrats, including a bunch in the Senate and some in the House who come from states or districts that Donald Trump carried, and they have to and probably want to look for ways to work with the president on taxes or on infrastructure spending or on trade. And so I think it's in that last group of maybe we can work with Trump Democrats getting together with some of those governing Republicans that provides some reason to think you can find some common ground. But right now it's pretty splintered.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. It's 15 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Thanks for spending time with us. Saying it missed the mark while trying to project a global message of unity, peace, and understanding, Pepsi has pulled a commercial that achieved the rare feat of uniting liberals and conservatives. The 2.5-minute commercial, released Tuesday, focuses on racially diverse protesters marching with signs declaring love, peace, and join the conversation. A star of the ad is Kendall Jenner, a model and personality on the reality show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. On CBS's The Late Show, Stephen Colbert made fun.
We don't know what has caused all of America's hot extras to take to the streets. But I'm guessing It's a protest for Attractive Lives Matter.
In the ad, Ms. Jenner leaves a photo shoot to join the protesters as they approach a line of stone-faced police officers. At the end of the ad, the big buildup, she hands an officer a can of Pepsi. He cracks it open, and the crowd cheers. But the ad is no more. Never made it to TV. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, diplomats at the UN Security Council sparred over whether to hold President Bashar al-Assad's government responsible for a chemical weapons attack that killed more than 80 people in northern Syria, while U.S. intelligence officials, Doctors Without Borders, and the UN Health Agency say evidence points to nerve gas exposure. Nikki Haley, U.S. ambassador to the UN, had harsh words for Assad in Moscow, a key ally of Assad.
Assad has no incentive to stop using chemical weapons as long as Russia continues to protect his regime from consequences.
Russian leaders claim the assault was caused by a Syrian airstrike that hit a rebel stockpile of chemical arms. An Air National Guard F-16 fighter plane crashed near Washington during a training mission yesterday, and the pilot ejected safely after steering the plummeting aircraft away from houses. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Croker says the pilot had been with the National Guard for about 4 years.
And he's been flying with us within about the past year. Very capable pilot.
The pilot, who escaped with minor injuries, reported mechanical trouble during the training mission. There were no injuries on the ground or damage to buildings. President Trump is defending Fox News anchor Bill O'Reilly amid revelations that O'Reilly and the network paid out millions to settle sexual harassment claims by five women. Trump told the New York Times that O'Reilly shouldn't have settled, and he didn't think Bill did anything wrong. The comments come days after the president proclaimed this National Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. Texas lawmakers are pushing for tougher sexual assault reporting requirements on college campuses in response to the ongoing investigations into Baylor's handling of sexual assault allegations involving its football program. The nation's largest Baptist university is facing federal lawsuits from more than a dozen women who contend school officials ignored or suppressed their sexual assault claims. Yankees legend Derek Jeter may be getting back in the game as a team owner. The retired shortstop has emerged as a potential bidder for the Miami Marlins. Fox Business reports that former Florida Governor Jeb Bush and a group of Goldman Sachs businessmen are also interested buyers.
Certainly has enough money, doesn't he?
I think he's got a start on buying the team.
Throw down a couple $1,000s maybe on a new team, on this team. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Grasshopper. As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. Turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Get a local or toll-free number or bring your own. See how it works at grasshopper.com. Companies have been adding new benefits for working parents in the past few years as they seek to attract and hang on to employees balancing family and work. Tech company Gusto provides new parents meal delivery services and house cleanings. Adding to the growing list are maternity concierges at Fifth Third Bank in Cincinnati, who've been on duty since January. Wall Street Journal management reporter Rachel Feinzig has the details. Rachel, set this up.
So we took a look at a bank, Fifth Third, that debuted an interesting benefit back in January. They have two maternity concierges who are assisting pregnant women and those with infants with all the planning that goes into having a kid.
Well, I never even heard that phrase before, maternity concierge. So what's involved? What do these folks do?
They will plan your kid's first birthday party, gender reveal parties when the parents find out the sex of their unborn child and want to announce it to those around them. They'll order your breast pump for you, collect items for your hospital bag, recommend strollers and child care options. It really runs the gamut.
Holy smokes. Now, if they're throwing, for example, a gender reveal party, is it done in the office because these people work for or because the maternity concierges work for Fifth Third?
No, it can be anything in their personal life. So, you know, you could be throwing a gender reveal party for family and friends, but they're basically your party planner. So they'll find the exact cake, the balloons that you want, talk to you about, you know, like different preferences that you might have in terms of color coordination or decorations for your event. But no, it's all for stuff outside of the office.
Wow, and the employer pays for this.
Yeah, the employer has paid in the six figures for these two maternity concierges. They're full-time. They work at Fifth Third, but they're contracted employees through like a concierge company.
Well, that is something. And this all about employee retention?
Yeah, retaining women. The bank was finding that they were losing a lot of women after maternity leave, that within a year of taking a maternity leave, those women were leaving at about twice the rate nearly as just women overall in the firm. And so this is really a play to try to get them through this crucial period after they have a child, and keep them on board in the workforce, and then hopefully, build a pipeline of women leaders at the firm.
Did I read correctly, too, that they will sometimes send a nanny on the road and help women send breast milk back home if they're traveling?
Those are other niche benefits that some other companies are offering. So KKR has the flying nannies, and companies like Johnson & Johnson are doing the breast milk shipping. And they're really just examples of kind of these extra lengths that companies are going to again, try to get women through this crucial period.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal management reporter Rachel Feinsig. She's written a piece entitled "When Your Employer Plans Your Baby Shower," talking about perks geared toward expectant mothers or new mothers. Well, this strikes me, I guess, then, as, a trend that will only grow.
I think so. I mean, I talked to a consultant and researcher who said that he's really seeing this trend of companies taking away chores from people for both male and female employees. As companies, like, for lack of it's a little bit of a cliched phrase, but as companies keep trying to do more with less, he said it's like one of the last things that you can do for employees before you just have to hire more staff. So you can say there's this element of your life, whether it's like preparing meals or getting your laundry done, that we can help you with so that you have more time to focus on work.
It's Wall Street Journal management reporter Rachel Feinsig from New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Hi, Auntie Christine. Thanks for the Easter basket you sent me. It has all my favorite candies and a stuffed bunny rabbit.
Surprise the little ones in your life with personalized plush Easter baskets from Personal Creations. Each plush animal Easter basket comes filled with free candy and a free stuffed bunny, all for $19.99. Plus, you can have it personalized with any name for free. To get this special Easter deal, go to personalcreations.com. Click the orange star in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 0200. That's personalcreations.com, secret code 0200.
The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, April 6th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump changes his thinking on Syria. A rule change today is expected to clear the path for Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. Ceremonies mark the 100th anniversary of the U.S. entering World War I. Facebook has announced new ways to prevent revenge porn. The Masters begins today with high winds in the forecast, and how the South Korean women's soccer team is preparing for a game tomorrow in North Korea. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, internal police records reviewed by USA Today Network show how drug groups have quietly turned Florida's fastest-growing suburb of Doral, outside Miami, into a money-laundering haven that has empowered the largest criminal organizations in the Americas to hide their illicit profits and dominate the narcotics trade in the U.S. It's a staggering story. USA Today senior investigations reporter Michael Sala helped put it together. He's with us live this morning. Good morning, Michael. Set this up. What'd you find here?
Good morning, Grid. What we basically have been able to unveil is that the suburb of Doral is largely one of the largest money laundering hubs in the country. And this was revealed to us in these internal records where the police were able to track millions of dollars going from the sale of heroin and cocaine in the United States. Cities all over the United States is largely being laundered through these export companies. There's literally thousands of them in South Florida. They export goods to South America, along with the laundering of drug cash. Mm. And that's basically the headline.
Give us a for example, like how one of these instances work.
Sure. Well, if you track it through, the police ran a vast undercover operation where they posed as money launderers. And what they do is they pick up cash all over the country. The cartels are the ones that are largely directing the movement of drugs and cash in America, whether people realize it or not. It's all coming out of Mexico and Colombia, most of it. And what they do is the police will get the call posing as money launderers. They'll pick up the cash in New York, Chicago, L.A. It could be $500,000 to $1 million in a suitcase. They bring it back, they deposit it, and then they get the directions from the money brokers who are working for the cartels where to direct the money, who's going to help us and work with us here to get this cash down to South America, get it back to the cartel owners. And that's where they move the money through the company. So you get $500,000, you deposit it in SunTrust Bank, and then the money broker tells you, now, send it to these five different companies. It could be GSM City. It could be Cellular Next. Most of them are all exporters of electronic goods. And then they take the money, and then it's eventually converted into pesos and delivered to the cartels in Bogota or Mexico City.
Jeez, so these like large cash deposits or bank transfers, they don't raise flags of some kind?
They're supposed to, but here in the case of the what happens here is that the money is deposited in bank accounts, and then it's sent from shell companies to legitimate companies. These exporters are all legitimate companies, or I should say legitimate on paper. They do export products to South America. That's what they do. So sometimes it raises red flags. Most of the time it doesn't.
Boy, and no arrests, is that right?
No, they made no arrests. There were two undercover operations in the last 20 years. None of them turned up any arrests. They were largely state undercover operations. So eventually, and one of them was deeply corrupted. As it turns out now, it's the subject of a grand jury investigation.
Oh, my goodness. So you have cops taking some of the money?
And so now what you have is the Fed stepping in the last 3 years, the DEA and the IRS have stepped in. It's not that it's too late, but they got a long way to go to break up this money laundering hub.
You had cops on the take here, I guess, taking some of that cash?
Well, what they do is they got a lot of missing money now. What they do is when they pose as money launderers, they actually charge fees, and they gathered around $2.5 million for themselves in their commissions, and now the federal government is trying to find the money. It'll be a long search, I'm sure.
Wow. We're speaking live this morning with Michael Salah, USA Today senior investigations reporter. Fascinating piece on money laundering in South Florida. So why is it so hard, ultimately, to infiltrate and shut these things down?
Well, here's what it is. In most cases, the export companies it's tough to be able, unless you actually set up surveillance and you set up wiretaps, you're not going to be able to determine and connect them to the money to the cartels. Now, once you start to do that, you can do it. You can start to charge them with criminal fraud, customs fraud, all sorts of charges. But you've got to make a concerted effort. Here's the other reason. Traditionally, trafficking and money laundering investigations have always targeted the kingpins. It's never really gone after the first layer, and they've always considered them to be somewhat expendable. But what our investigation shows is that unless you take them out, that scheme, that money laundering process is never going to end, and they're always going to be able to make a profit on the sale of heroin and cocaine. And I think it's helped to redirect, this kind of coverage helps redirect the federal government towards actually going after every rung in the ladder, if you will.
Wow. Man, it's a great piece by you guys. Fantastic work by you and the team. I had to read it like four or five times to fully understand just what was happening. I'm not sure I still get it. It's Michael Salah, USA Today senior investigations reporter. Just unbelievable story. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it looks like avocado aficionados will soon be making a beeline for an unlikely destination, Brooklyn. This month, the New York City Borough will welcome an all-avocado bar where customers can enjoy the beloved fruit in a variety of healthy and fresh ways. Avocadoria, as it is called, says that their aim is to bring a fresh perspective and healthy take on fast food. They say their dishes will feature organic avocados farmed in Mexico by local farmers and fairly traded to the U.S. at an affordable price for consumers. The menu will reportedly feature breakfast and lunch bowls, as well as salads, toast, smoothies, and of course, guacamole.
Wow.
Why don't you
just do a full two-minute advertisement for these folks, Mike?
I actually cut it down a little bit, to be honest with you.
You're getting a piece of the action, like on the sales staff?
Just, I mean, you know, we are, what, you know, about, what, an hour drive or so from Brooklyn from here? That right. might not be, make a bad lunch destination one day.
That is a great story, by the way, given that tomorrow is National Beer Day.
Oh.
What a nice little combination you may have pieced together. Find yourself a local brewery there.
Hey, they are striking Brooklyn while the iron's hot. Avocados have never been bigger than they
true.
Are right now. It seems like guacamole is
true.
Everywhere these days.
Agreed.
And good news, Gordon, we have even more details now about how authorities were able to track down the missing Tom Brady Super Bowl jerseys.
Oh, this is still a thing?
Just what you wanted to
we're
hear.
We're still talking about the Brady jersey.
Yes, every day we get new information. Apparently, police had the help of a 19-year-old Patriots fan who was also a memorabilia collector. The man named Dylan Wagner sold a jersey to Martin Ortega on eBay last December, and the two exchanged photos of their collections. Front and center in the collection was Tom Brady's Super Bowl 49 jersey. Thinking that was a tad suspicious, Wagner then shared the photos with a Boston ATF agent, which came in handy when Brady's missing jersey from this year's Super Bowl became a national story. As it turns out, these photos, along with surveillance video showing Ortega in the Patriots' locker room after the Super Bowl, were enough to get a search warrant to go into Ortega's basement and recover the stolen jerseys.
Wow.
Some old, good old-fashioned police work. I like that.
How about a 19-year-old?
Yeah.
Who's like a collecting aficionado.
Yeah.
Contacting ATF.
Right. Yeah. Yes. A mature young man.
I would have been, what?
Yeah.
Contact who?
Yeah.
No. Give me that jersey for $50. I'll take that.
Yeah. No. Wow. Good job all around.
Nice. Nice job by him. Thank you, Mike. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact the Dell Small Business Advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help to become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Glad you could be with us on this Thursday. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
World leaders are waiting for President Trump to set out his strategy on Syria after he declared that an apparent chemical weapons attack had transformed his views on the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. Trump, who had previously argued against removing Assad from power, says the attack was a heinous act, but he didn't offer any details of how U.S. strategy on Syria would change, nor did he directly criticize Russia, which has stood by Assad. President Trump has removed Chief Strategist Stephen Bannon from the National Security Council in a shakeup that consolidates the power of White House National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. During the first weeks of his presidency, Trump was criticized for taking the unusual step of allowing his political advisor to attend all NSC meetings, giving Bannon unusual influence over key military and intelligence decisions. A large tornado touched down in rural southwest Georgia yesterday, toppling trees and power lines as dangerous storms batter the deep south with heavy rain and hail as large as baseballs. Area resident Calvin Freeman.
The top on the home house started peeling off. So we knew it was a rare serious storm.
A severe thunderstorm watch remains in effect for many counties in central South Carolina this morning, and high wind warnings are in effect in the mountains of North Carolina. A federal judge in Baltimore has denied the Justice Department's request to delay a public hearing scheduled for today on a pending agreement to reform the Baltimore Police Department. The Justice Department had filed a motion to push back the hearing until June, saying it wanted time to review the plan and determine whether the proposal would hinder efforts to fight violent crime. The company created by the inventor of the light bulb, GE, may be getting out of the lighting business. The Wall Street Journal says General Electric is considering a sale of its consumer lighting business, which for decades defined the company following its co-founding 125 years ago by Thomas Edison. And investigative journalism isn't quite dead yet. An incoming high school principal in Pittsburgh, Kansas, was forced to resign after student reporters discovered that she received her master's and doctoral degrees from an unaccredited online school.
That's some story.
Isn't that crazy?
Kids did some good work there.
Maybe some of them can come here and help us.
Maybe. just help journalism in general these days, right? Nice job, kids. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. In advance of tomorrow's qualifying match against North Korea in Pyongyang, the coach of South Korea's women's soccer team wanted to do something to fortify his players for the task ahead, so he ordered a crew to install four large outdoor speakers on the field. As his players practiced against a local boys' high school team, the speakers assaulted their eardrums with a 51-minute-long montage of sounds from previous matches held in North Korea, some of which were available on YouTube. The Wall Street Journal says at roughly 100 decibels, the sound ranked somewhere between a jackhammer and a jetliner taking off. Now, women's soccer is not a popular sport in South Korea. Games rarely attract many spectators. In contrast, tomorrow's match at Kim Il-sung Stadium is expected to draw more than 40,000 people. There's even been chatter that North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, may show up. Korea, as you may know, was divided after the U.S. and Soviet Union each occupied one half of the country after the defeat of Japan in World War II. The North and South are still technically at war with each other. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.